Turn in your Bible, please, and we read a very brief portion from this record of John's record of the gospel. We come to this 19th verse. Having finished on last week, verse 18, where we talked for the entire message from the simple phrase, Jesus in the midst. And we take up then in 19, where the scripture says, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. I have in your bulletin the title, Three Languages, Three Words. My full and original title is too lengthy to put on the bulletin. It is, in fact, three statements. Three languages, three words. We come this morning again to this 19th chapter of John's recorded testimony of the gospel of Christ. And now this 19th verse, wherein is recorded a most amazing and powerful account of Pilate's final and inspired, may I say, testimony to the person and office of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to this place in our text, nothing had been left undone which could add to the sufferings of our blessed Lord. From the tribunal at which he was condemned, he was hurried away to execution and crucified between two most notorious malefactors as being himself the vilest of the human race. This, however, served only to fulfill the scripture, which had said he was numbered with the transgressors. But on such occasions, it was common to place above the head of the criminal an inscription. In fact, many writers that I read after said that this inscription, this placard, was usually written before and carried with the prisoner to the place of execution, going before them, as it were, somewhat of an announcement, by which all the spectators might know both his name and the crime for which he suffered. This was observed, as usual, at the crucifixion of our Lord, and since no circumstance respecting him is uninteresting, I call your attention particularly to it this morning. The testimony itself contained the most important truth that could possibly be affirmed. It declared that Jesus was the King of Israel. That very King predicted by the prophets, even that one called by Daniel the Messiah, the Prince, who should be cut off not for his own sins, but for the sins of others. And that it might be universally known, it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin, the three languages most known in the world at the time, so that in fact, Pilate himself became the first preacher of a crucified Redeemer. But notice in verse 20 and 21, this title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. And then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. These Jews, chief priests and Pharisees, were outraged at the writing. Stalker, in his comments, called this writing of this placard by Pilate, he called it a drop of bitterness in the cup of their triumph. Finally, they have achieved what they have sought to achieve. The Lord Jesus is to be crucified, but then there's this drop of bitterness in the cup of their triumph. Pilate's final, effectual stab at the heart of national Israel's pride. He places this placard above this dying man, stripped, tortured, and dying. He places these words, here is the King of the Jews. Their response, as we read in verse 21, was quick, deliberate, and demanding. But alas for them, Pilate is in no humor to be browbeat any further by their sectarian demands and their veiled threats. He is in no mood anymore for it. His response, too, was quick, powerful, and arrogant. He responds in verse 22, what I have written, I have written. Such was his arrogance. Such was his hatred for this people. But above and beyond all that, such was his instrumentality in the hands of our sovereign God. Calvin said, Pilate, though he was a reprobate man, and in other respects an instrument of Satan, he was nevertheless, by a secret guidance of God's omnipotent hand, appointed to be the first herald of the gospel, to proclaim a public proclamation in every major language, in every tongue, to every man, that Christ is King. Hallelujah. Well did Simeon say, though perfectly free to follow the dictates of his own mind, Pilate was no robot. Though perfectly free to follow the dictates of his own mind, he was undoubtedly under the influence of God, just as Balaam was, who, though of himself disposed to curse Israel, was invariably constrained to bless them. The truth exhibited in that inscription was itself unalterable, and was to be proclaimed to every people of every language under the heavens. It was the cornerstone on which of all of mankind were to build their hopes. And therefore God, who had left Pilate to his natural timidity for the crucifying of his son, now emboldens him to withstand their renewed solicitations, though in a matter of relative unimportance. Thus it was on that occasion, and thus it ever shall be, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand, and he will do all his will, the scripture says. As far as the wrath of man will praise him, he will suffer it to act, but the remainder of it he will restrain. Oh, listen. I almost entitled this message this morning, The Church's First Missionary. Pilate inscribes Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Oh, how can the despiser of this doctrine come here without shame and reproof? God is sovereign. In the words of Acts chapter 2 and verse 11, it was the Lord's work, will of the Lord, that every man was to, in the words of Acts, hear his wonderful works in his own tongue. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 11, and our God guarantees it to be so, even beginning at the hands of this vile and hated heathen. He will have it to be so. But now, may I turn again your attention together to this title, verse 19. And Pilate wrote a title. I turn your attention now this morning to that title to speak to you for just a moment about three statements, three languages, and three words. First of all, there were three different messages. I won't take the time. I don't want to tie up the time in the pulpit, but I did the study myself thoroughly. I'd have you to notice and point out to you that in the four records of the gospel account, there is every record bearing slight differences, one from the other. When you read what the recorder says, this inscription said, there are, in fact, three different accounts. And the wording is, the record bears slight differences across the Synoptic Gospels and John. And there are slight differences in the exact wording, some of which may be accounted for by the different languages that are used to express it. And some which may be accounted for by the views taken, the different views taken by the different authors. But in all of them alike, there is this common message. Jesus, the King of the Jews. All alike agree in this message. Jesus, the King of the Jews. Whatever may be the differences in tongues, whatever may be the differences in perspectives, this message is singular. Jesus is the King of the Jews. And may I say to you, the Pharisees got it well. They well got the message, and thus their anger and their protestation. There were three different messages, if you read them across the four accounts of the gospel. But I move you quickly to my second point. There are three words, in fact. Three words, three different words in the Greek used to describe this placard. Very interesting to me. Very interesting to me. I had just assumed, I suppose, before now that they were all the same, but they were certainly not. Here in our text, in John chapter 19 and verse 19, John has the word titlon. The Latin word is titulus. It's translated in our Bible, title, in verse 19. And Pilate wrote a title. Translated title in John's record. This word signifies a sign. Literally a sign that is to be carried and displayed. This word, most commentators agree from the lips of John, bears witness to the fact that he was, in fact, the only eyewitness of the gospel records of the crucifixion of our Lord. And he is speaking, as it were, simply reporting what he saw. Unlike the others, his is more of an eyewitness accounting of the scene. And in his eyewitness account of it, he calls it a title. A placard of title that was placed above our Lord, says John. But then Mark, in chapter 12 and verse 26, and Luke in chapter 23 and verse 38, uses another word. Epigraphe. Mark and Luke call it an epigraphe, which if you look in those places, is translated by our translators, superscription. Again, though, in these two gospel accounts, the word that is used emphasizes that this was some form of a placard, some form of a sign of notification, a superscription, epigraphe, they call it. But then, we come to Matthew, that royal gospel, that gospel which characterizes our Lord as the Lion of the tribe of Judah in his office of the Lion in his office of royalty. And we come to Matthew, who uses a more interpretive word when he uses the word eitain. And it's translated in Matthew's record, accusation. Matthew is focused not so much on the physical placard, the sign, the titulus, but rather Matthew is focused in his view on that significance of that sign, that it was, in fact, an accusation. And I say to you, if I may bring your heart to this point, the fact that the sweet Spirit of our God uses not one, not two, but three words to describe this placard. I say to you that such is the nature and significance of this title, that not less than three different words in the original Greek are used in the sacred record just to name it. Oh, it is as though the sweet Spirit of our God would have us to take note by these different words, the value and significance of this placard. It is described, if you please, in every way possible in the language available to the gospel writers. This is no mere circumstantial detail of only passing observation. This is an eternally significant notification. It's called a title. It's called everything in the New Testament language available, an accusation. All these things that we may take note of the significance of this placard. Three messages. Three words used to describe it, as if that were not enough. As if that were not enough. As if that were not sufficient and sufficiently significant. I give you thirdly, the message must be repeated in all three different languages. Three messages. Three words to describe the message. Three languages on the message. Verse 20. This title then read, many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Three different languages. And what I ask you are we to make of this? It seems to me a classic example. When I read this statement, I considered it, I wrote out a note beside it, a classic example of understatement. It seems to me a classic example of understatement when one commentator that I read said, the proclamation of Christ's royalty to the three great divisions of the civilized world is a providential fact of supreme interest. Oh, indeed. What an understatement. Of supreme interest, indeed. Ryle gives us a clue of this exceptional display when he says, it was in Greek because this was the language most known in all the eastern countries and the language of all literary and educated people. It was in Latin because this was the language of the Romans, the ruling nation in the world. The Roman soldiers would all understand the Latin. It was in the Greek proselytes, and the Hellenistic Jews would understand the Greek. And the pure Jews from Galilee and Judea and every part of the earth assembled for the Passover in that city would understand the Hebrew. Oh, surely it takes no deep mind of discernment to see that our God will have this message delivered to the whole world. Vincent Wells said it when he said that the Hebrew Messiah should become equally the deliverer of the Greek and of the Roman. That as Christ was the real center of the religious civilization of Jerusalem, so he should become the real center of the world's intellectual movement as represented by Greece, and of its legal and material civilization as represented by Rome. The three civilizations, he said, which had prepared the way for Christ, thus concentrated at the cross. The cross is the real center of the whole world's history. As can be seen by the writing on this titulus, Jesus, King of the Jews, in Latin, Greek, and Hebrew. Oh, Hebrew. Hebrew was the language of the oracles of God. Greek was the language of philosophy and poetry and art. Latin was the language of the empire and of the law. All conspired to declare in one voice in all the earth this message, Jesus is King! Jesus is King. Yes, He's King of the Jews. He's King, says our title, says our placard, says our superscription. He's King of the Jews. He's King of the Gentiles. He's King of all the earth, and He's King for all times. He is King of kings. Hallelujah. Let all the earth receive this placard. Jesus is King. He reigns without a rival. He reigns without a rival. Him in our book says, Jesus, we've sung it many times, Jesus shall reign where the sun doth his successive journeys run. His kingdom shall stretch from shore to shore till moons shall wax and wane no more. For him shall endless prayer be made and endless praises crown his head. His name like sweet perfume shall rise with every morning sacrifice. People and realms of every tongue dwell on his love with sweetest song, and infant voices shall proclaim there are many blessings on his name. Blessings abound where'er he reigns. The joyful prisoner bursts his chains. The weary find eternal rest, and all the sons of want are blessed. Let every creature rise and bring peculiar honors to our King. Angels descend with songs again, and earth repeat the loud Amen. Jesus shall reign where the sun doth his successive journey run, all in every language and to every people. Through all the ages this message comes. Jesus of Nazareth is King. Well did the prophet say it in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 and 7, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to honor it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forevermore. Hallelujah. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Bless your heart. Jesus is King. Jesus is King. And every nation should hear it. And every nation receive it in their own language. That Jesus is King. Verse 21 of Proverbs 21, a familiar text. The king's heart is in the Lord's hand as the rivers of water. He turns it whithersoever he will. He is the King. Oh, even as he reigned from the cross, may I say it, even as he reigned from the throne of a cross, this is the message to all men in every realm and by every name. Jesus is the King. Well did F.F. Bruce declare, this crucified one is the true King. He is the kingliest King. He who is stretched on the cross turns even an obscene instrument of torture into a throne of glory and reigned from the tree. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. Stretched out on the cross, he reigned from a tree. Jesus. Nazareth. The King. The Jews. Raul said even before the Lord was born, even before the Lord was born, the angel great Gabriel declared to the Virgin Mary, listen, Luke 1:32 and 33, the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Even before he was born. And then when he was born, there came the wise men from the east in Matthew 2:2. And they said, where is he that is born King of the Jews. The very week before his crucifixion, the multitudes who accompanied our Lord to his triumphal entry into Jerusalem had cried out these words, "Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And now, Pilate declares it again. Not once, not twice, but three times. Not in one language, not in two languages, but in three languages. And the Spirit of God describes the placard, not in one word, not in two words, but in three words. We might recognize the value of this message. Jesus is the King. Oh, I say to you this morning, I said to the men in the jailhouse this morning, I don't care who was elected president. I don't care who was elected president. I don't care who was elected into the Congress and Senate. I know who the King is that reigns over it all. Over all of them. It was Stalker in his book on the trial and death of the Lord Jesus Christ that points us to the fact that sometimes, oh, listen to Stalker's observation. Sometimes and at some places in God's time, the atmosphere is so charged and electric with the divine that inspiration alights and burns on everything. And never was this more true than at the cross. Pilate had already unconsciously almost been a prophet. When he, pointing to Jesus, said, "Behold the man," a word which still preaches to the centuries. And now, after already being a speaking prophet, he becomes what has been quaintly remarked as a writing one, too. For his pen was guided by a supernatural hand to indite these words, "Jesus, the King of the Jews." Speaking prophet, Stalker said, a speaking prophet, and now a writing one as well. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 and 17. The seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Hallelujah! The hallelujah chorus says, "And he shall reign forever and ever." The 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee great power and hast reigned." I say to you this morning, he reigned not less from that cross, where that placard, that titulus hung above his head in the languages of all of the known world. He reigned from the cross. Romans chapter 14 and verse 11. "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." Every man in every language will bow to this truth. But oh, may I say to you, in the words of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, this is indeed a gospel worthy of all acceptation. And could I point to you this morning in closing? Could I point to you that there was another writing on that cross that day. I've had much to say about this placard. But oh, there's another writing on that cross that morning that occupies my interest. It was a writing which natural eyes could not see. And yet, by the eyes of faith, it is made as clear as the blazing noonday sun. It's referred to in Colossians chapter 2. Where Paul, writing to the church of Colossae, said this, buried with him in baptism. Wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of the flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And listen, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, hallelujah, nailing it to the cross. There was another writing there that day that occupied my mind. Oh, it's those ordinances that I broke. It was a handwriting. And Paul says he nailed it. He carried it with him. And he nailed it to that cross. Oh, what a handwriting is this. What a handwriting is this for the redeemed soul. Handwriting of ordinances. Oh, no, Pilate's was not the only placard there that day. Jesus carried handwriting of ordinances that was against me. And he says he nailed it with him to the cross. And by doing that, he blotted it out. He blotted it out! I can imagine in my mind those words applied to Calvary. Oh, the blood ran down. And the ink was all washed off of those ordinances. He blotted them out by the shedding of his blood. Three messages. Three words. Three languages. All to describe one thing. Jesus is the King. Jesus is the King.